Sweden. Our Yellow, the Power Dynamos, will take on the Airmen, Red Arrows, and Zesco Zegamambo battles our Red Vankana FC in a heated bid to win at the Levy Wanawasa Stadium. Who will make it to the final showdown? Catch the games at 12:30 and 15 hours to see who will make it to the final. Grab your tickets now at ShopRite CompuTicket, VIP 300 Kwacha, West Wing 150 Kwacha, East Wing 50 Kwacha, South and North Wing 30 Kwacha, and Early Bed 20 Kwacha.
Your story matters, ABSA.
The headlines. FQM records 11% decline in copper production in the first quarter of 2025. CAAC questions ACC on the status of FIC reports probe. Zelensky cuts short South Africa visit after Russian attack on Kyiv. To present the news, I'm Lucivilo Gondwe. First Quantum Minerals, FQM, recorded an 11% drop in copper production in the first quarter of 2025 from over 111,400 tons to just under 100,000 tons, mainly attributed to weaker output at both its Sentinel and Kansanshi mines that were impacted by seasonal rains. FQM has, however, maintained that its production targets for 2025 across board at between 160,000 and 190,000 tons for Kansanshi and up to 230,000 tons at Sentinel, despite producing only 99,703 tons this quarter. According to FQM's quarter 1 2025 results published today, Sentinel Mine produced 46,361 tons of copper, down over 10,000 tons quarter over quarter, impacted by lower grades and throughput. At Kansanshi, copper output fell slightly to 46,544 tons as mill configurations returned to standard operations, a decrease of 1,595 tons from the previous quarter due to lower feed grades. Meanwhile, the enterprise operation turned in stronger results, with nickel production up 25% to 4,649 tons due to improved throughput, despite slightly lower ore grades, while gold production also remained strong at nearly 30,000 ounces. The company has also announced a six-week smelter shutdown in the second quarter and a four-day full shutdown maintenance program at Sentinel to address wear and tear in the mills, and also scheduled quarter two, while the S3 expansion is set to begin producing in the second half of the year. And financially, First Quantum reported a gross profit of $331 and EBITDA of $377 million for the quarter, while shareholders saw a small net loss of 3 cents per share, with adjusted earnings breaking even after a dip in performance attributed to lower sales volumes of copper, gold, and nickel. The Community Action Against Corruption, CAAC, has challenged the Anti-Corruption Commission, ACC, to clarify whether the 2023 and 2024 Financial Intelligence Center FIC reports remain under active investigation or have been quietly closed. The organization's chief executive officer, Brighton Tembo, has expressed concern over the two-year delay without public updates, noting that the reports were formally forwarded to law enforcement agencies for further action. Mr. Tembo has also called for an update on the status of several high-profile investigations announced last year, among them allegations on the misconduct by cabinet ministers, the Ministry of Finance allowances scandal, kickbacks involving a Kenyan company in the Ministry of Defense, and irregularities in the Ministry of Energy's fuel procurement, among others. He has added that the Ministry of Local Government and Rural Development and the Ministry of Health must also explain why contracts for 156 Constituency Development Fund ambulances have not been terminated despite failure to deliver by December 2024 deadline. Mr. Tembo argues that accountability demands in these cases should not be hampered by perceived institutional weaknesses, warning that continued silence and a lack of transparency risk undermining public confidence in the ACC's ability to pursue corruption cases.
Because, you know, corruption fight demands transparency and accountability in terms of information dissemination. So the Anti-Corruption Commission cannot afford to keep quiet on these two important reports. Then we also demand from the Anti-Corruption Commission to update Zambians on the corruption cases which they announced that they were investigating. For example, the scandal at the Ministry of Finance, the investigations concerning the Solicitor General, investigations concerning cabinet ministers, investigations concerning ZAMSA, the investigations on the Minister of Defense scandal, where it is believed that some officers and some people received kickbacks from a Kenyan company.
President Hakainde Hichilema has commended Pope Francis's commitment to interfaith dialogue, noting that his outreach to people of other faiths helped build bridges of understanding and mutual respect. The president has noted that his teachings on peace and care for the most vulnerable resonated powerfully within Zambia's diverse communities. In his message in the Book of Condolences in honor of Pope Francis at the Apostolic Nunciature in Lusaka this morning, President Hichilema extended his condolences to the Vatican and the global Catholic community, paying tribute to the late pontiff's legacy of humility, compassion, and unwavering faith. He expressed Zambia's deep sorrow at the passing of His Holiness, Pope Francis, describing him as a beloved spiritual leader whose life and teachings touched millions across the globe. The head of state offered his condolences on behalf of the Zambian people, expressing deep reverence and sympathy for the Catholic faithful around the world. The Electoral Commission of Zambia, ECZ, has challenged political parties to take lead in curbing political violence, which often erupts during election periods. The ECZ Corporate Affairs Manager, Patricia Luhanga, states that the Commission has made every effort to reduce such violence, including suspending parties from participating in elections, and yet the problem persists. Speaking at a stakeholder engagement meeting on promoting a healthy information ecosystem ahead of next year's general elections, Ms. Luhanga emphasized that it is ultimately up to political parties to come together and find lasting solutions to this issue. While acknowledging that all stakeholders have a role to play in condemning political violence, she underscored that political parties are central to ending the vice once and for all. She says as much as it is the duty of every stakeholder to denounce political violence, political parties are a key player in ensuring the vice is totally done away with.
I think in terms of violence, why can't we flip the script instead of talking to the Commission of Violence? Why can't we put the political parties on? How do we? Because, look, this is where it's not involved in violence. You are always running to the Commission. The Electoral Commission is violent. So, what about the political parties? Who are the dictators? For one, let's flip the script and put them on the spot. What are they doing? We can do our part. We know it's the stupidest campaign before. General election basically happened. We've done that before.
In global news, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has cancelled part of his first visit to South Africa after an overnight Russian missile and drone attack on Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. At least 9 people were killed and more than 80 injured, including children, in the attack, local officials say. Zelensky said in a post on X that he will return to Ukraine immediately after meeting his South African counterpart Cyril Ramaphosa as part of his trip to ramp up diplomatic efforts. We monitor the BBC for details in this story and also for other global stories.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has broken off a trip to South Africa following overnight drone and missile attacks on Kyiv. His foreign minister said these attacks, in which nine people